Psalm 86. Turn to Psalm 86. Why don't we pray and we'll see what the Lord has for us. Father God, we do thank you for our church, and we thank you for technology that for the group that is here and for those listening from afar. And we're just thankful that we can do that and we can still gather around your word and that we know it's true, that we can trust in it. I just pray, Lord Father, that you meet with us now, meet with each family member and friend. Lord Father, we got many church families sick. I pray that you be with them. Give them extra blessing. Touch their bodies, Lord Father. Help fevers to stop and just appetites. Everything that's needed, Lord Father, just please bless in a special way. And help those that are not sick to be prevented from getting sick, Lord. And I just pray that you meet with us now as we hear something from your word, Lord. Help it to encourage, help it to convict, help it to do exactly that you want it to do in our lives tonight. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Some time ago, I wrote this message, woe's me, woe's me. It was after a time of, I found myself in a little rut, not just any rut, but I guess a rut of depression. I was down. I was discouraged. I just got done spending time with a good friend, and I started thinking about some things that were going on, and I started thinking, and the more I thought about those things, the more I got angry. I got upset. I got discouraged, and it's like the more I thought about them, the worse it got, and I was in this cycle, right? I was in this downward spiral. And, you know, I said, well, I need to pray. And so I tried praying, and I still couldn't make the thoughts stop. It's just like just overwhelming thoughts on these things that I was dealing with. And so I tried to pray, and I was struggling with that, you know, and I got thinking there's just not enough time to get everything done. You know, the day didn't go as planned. And, you know, I just wanted to be things to be simple. I like things simple. Most people do, you know, just simple. And it wasn't simple. So I was getting really frustrated at myself because I was having this pity party for myself. And then that made me mad, too. You know, so it was like, this isn't going anywhere fast, you know, anywhere good anyway. And so finally, I grabbed my Bible and I asked the Lord, Lord, please just comfort me. Please forgive me. And I need help. I need it now. I need help right now, and I'm looking for your word to help me. And so I was begging with God to show me something, to encourage me, and to snap me out of how I was feeling at that moment. You know, and I went to the book of Psalms, and I read a few chapters, and then here we are, Psalm 86. This is where I ended up. And so let's read verse 1 together. Bow down thy ear, O Lord, hear me, for I am poor and needy. You know, that got my attention real quick. I was poor in spirit at that time. I was definitely needy in encouragement, and I was definitely in need of help. You know, I thought, now I know the Lord heard me. I know He's here for me. You know, I could feel Him now. You know, I felt some life coming back. Some of you tonight may be poor and needy. Maybe you're poor in a financial need. Maybe you're poor emotionally. Maybe you're poor and needy spiritually. Maybe you're poor and needy of laughter. You're lacking some joy. Maybe you're poor in strength, physically, very weak, or what have you. Maybe you are poor and needy of some love. Maybe you're poor and needy of some friendship. Or acknowledgement, like, hey, I know, I know you're sick, I know you're hurting. Maybe you're needy of a helping hand, maybe you need of some healing. You know, I don't know, Maybe you're thinking you're a forgotten person. I don't know what that need is, but whatever it is, your heart may be poor in. I know this. I know the Lord knows all about it already. And He can help you if you ask. Let's continue to read on. We read verse 1. Let's read it again. Bow down thy ear, O Lord, hear me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my soul, for I am holy, O thou my God. Save thy servant that trusteth in thee. Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. Rejoice the soul of thy servant, for unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Boy, verse 5. The Lord is good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. If you find yourself here and poor in spirit because of something you've done, boy, there's hope in that verse, isn't there? Know this, that the Lord, He is ready to forgive. He's ready. He's waiting. He knows your heart. He knows what you have need of. Despite what you think you need, He already knows exactly what it is. Be grateful, for He is merciful. You know, God is, according to His Word, He is ready to forgive. He is ready to grant that mercy. But notice that last part of that verse. He's ready to do that unto all them that call upon thee. You know, have you called unto Him? Or are you still in that pity party? You know, have you reached out to Him? Have you called out to God for your poor and needy spirit that you're dealing with? You know, we tend to forget that. When we're in the midst of the battle, when we're in the midst of the trial, when we're laying in bed because of sickness, when we're exhausting ourselves, running around trying to help those who are sick, whatever it is, you know, when you're in the midst of it, you forget. It's very common to forget, I need to call on to God. He can help me. He is ready to forgive anything you've done. He's ready to give mercy. He's ready. Verse 3, I cry unto thee daily. We need reminded, this is what we're supposed to do. Whether good or bad, every day we need to cry unto the Lord daily. You know, and sometimes it takes a trial to reset maybe a spiritual condition, maybe something that we're dealing with. Sometimes when things are going good, we have a tendency to forget God too. And sometimes maybe we need a little persecution to draw us back to where we're supposed to be, closer to God, close with God. Maybe we've neglected to cry unto Him daily for that provision, that strength, that wisdom that we need daily just to live our lives, to be pleasing to Him in His sight. You know, we need to cry unto the Lord daily, as the psalmist says here. Cry and go to Him with our prayers, with our needs, whatever it is. Let's keep reading. Let's look in verse 6. Boy, it's a great psalm for right now. Verse 6, give ear, O Lord, unto my prayer, and attend to the voice of my supplications. In the day of my trouble, I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me. Do you have problems you can't seem to fix or solve? You know, sometimes money can't fix the problem. Sometimes your strength isn't enough. Troubles just keep getting worse. Everyone has problems, right? You know, as Daniel mentioned this morning, sometimes the biggest problem is ourselves. It's the person we look at in the mirror. Sometimes I don't create the problems, but many times, boy, I'm the root of the problem, usually. I did something, I neglected in something to cause this problem I'm facing many times, right? You know, regardless though, we all face problems. Whether we created them or not, and these problems, they demand of us, don't they? For instance, right now, we have lockdowns all across our nation, right here in the state of Alaska in some places. We have quarantines. We have this corona sickness going around. Changes in our daily habits. You go to the grocery store like I did the other day and everything's off the shelves again. Those are trials, right? Those are real problems that a big God already knows about. Some of you here, you may be thinking, or those live streaming, what does Brother Sean know about problems? He's not very old. Well, I'm getting a little older. I've experienced my fair share of problems. I can remember 20 years ago, I went to jail. That was a problem. I remember going to jail. I'm not proud of that fact. I got to ride in a police car. What happened? I did something, right? I did something and caused a big problem in my life, right? I got my orange little jumpsuit fitted just for me. I got a thin little pillow and mattress. I was like, wow, they're really caring for me. No, not really. That's not the kind of care you want, right? But I was staring on the wrong side of the jail bars. Not proud of it, but looking back, I can't believe that was 20 years ago, but 20 years ago, I was there. I've had some low times in my life. You know, at that time in my life, looking back, I wish I would have had someone to tell me, hey, I know somebody who can help you where you are right now. His name is Jesus. See, I didn't know the Lord then. At 17 years old, when I went to jail, you know, I thought I could handle anything that came my way. Well, I didn't have enough money to get out of jail. I didn't have enough strength to break out. I couldn't plead my way out, couldn't talk my way out, couldn't bribe my way out. There was no way out. And I certainly was not making a phone call to have my mom and dad come pick me up. So I waited it out. I found out then I couldn't handle it. I found out then I couldn't handle that problem, right? In my own strength. And you know what I found out? Even after receiving the Lord as my Savior, I still can't handle my problems. I still need the Lord. I need to turn to somebody who can handle all my problems. You know, May 8, 2005, that's when I fully realized, you know what? I cannot handle this life on my own. Life is too complicated, it's too hard, it's too stressful to do it all by myself. When I thought I had all the answers, right? All my ducks in a row, boy, life takes a twist on you, doesn't it? A turn for the unexpected. You know, you ever been walking and you're looking forward? Or maybe you're looking up high and you're not paying attention where your footing is. And all of a sudden, you drop and you're like, oh, that hurt. You stepped into a hole, right? It jerked you. You know, you're walking. You think you got everything. You know exactly where you're going. And all of a sudden, you twist and you jerk your back. You weren't ready for that, were you? That's life. That is what life is like. Proverbs 27:1, right? We have no idea. We can plan, we can lay all the plans out, but there's a God factor. He's control of all of it. He can decide whatever he wants, right? And we've learned from Daniel 2, well, we have an adversary fighting against us. We have a flesh that wars against us. All those things warring against us, right? It creates a problem for our lives that we might not know is coming. Maybe you took a step and it jerked you in a way you weren't intended on going. I never intended on going to jail at 17 years old. That jerk, that twist in my life caught me by surprise. No matter how many turns in life we face, if we trust the Word of God and remember what we just read, look what it said. God is ready and willing to help. He's ready and willing if we call upon him. You know, as I mentioned before, May 8, 2005, you know, that's when I fully realized I was missing something for the first time in our life. I fully understood I am nothing I do not know what tomorrow is going to bring. When I die, where am I going to go? I don't know. And it scared me. I started thinking on those things. You know, I can't do anything right. I didn't know who to turn to till someone shared with me about God's only Son, Jesus Christ, who could and would fill the void in my life that I was experiencing, who could and would forgive me of my sins, who could and would help me in my deepest low. You know, this flesh of mine is troublesome. Your flesh is troublesome. It can lead to chaos in your life, destruction. It needs a mediator. Your flesh needs someone to guide and direct you for right. And that someone is Jesus Christ. You know, May 8th, 2005, I fully realized, you know what? My sins that I'm doing, the things that I do in this life that are displeasing to God, they're going to send me to an eternal hell, to an eternal fire, if something doesn't change. You know what? I learned, I'm so glad someone shared with me, that I can be forgiven, that I can have salvation through Jesus Christ. But I also learned, you know what? It's a choice. God would not make me call upon Him. Just like the psalmist says here, boy, He's ready to forgive. He's plenteous in mercy. Unto who? All them that call upon Thee. You know, many want that forgiveness. Many want that salvation experience. They want to be saved, but they don't call on Him. I had to call upon Jesus on my own account. I couldn't trust that grandma did it for me. I couldn't trust that my uncle. I couldn't trust that somebody told me at 2 years old or whatever. You know, I have to do it. I have to do it. Right? It's personal. A personal God demands a personal choice to accept Him or not. I can honestly say, you know, since I made that decision to repent and turn to Jesus Christ, since I made that decision, May 8, 2005, I can cling and share in that same feeling that verse 13 says. And it says here, "For great is Thy mercy toward me, and Thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell." You know, God can save you from destructive things here on earth, and He can save you from hell that awaits all that do not know Him as Savior. You know, once you are saved, once you accept Christ as your Savior, He delivers you eternally from that lowest hell, right? You know, Jesus loves you. He wants you to be saved. He wants you to call upon Him. But what I love about our God, He will not make you. He wants you to genuinely choose Him. That's real love. He loves you anyway. But He will not manufacture love in your life. He will not make you a robot and force you to choose Him, to obey Him. You know, parents want their children to obey and love them, right? And if you're trying to make your children love you, boy, you're going about that wrong. That will backfire. It's a choice they have to choose to love you. You can help influence, but you don't get to make that decision. God's Son chose to die for you and I. You know, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." Boy, that whosoever, boy, that means anyone, everyone, all that reach out to Him. It's right there. He died for all. He died for all. Romans 10:13, you know these verses for those that have been in church any little length of time. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And it's not a maybe, but shall be. Maybe some of you have already called upon the name of the Lord. Maybe some of you feel like I did, and you were having that pity party at the beginning of the message when I was reminding you of a time where I was at a low point. And that was not the only low point in my life. That was just one of many, right? Maybe some of you think, boy, it is impossible to be used of God now. Maybe that's where you are. Listen to this. Turn there if you like. We're getting close to the end here, but I'm going to turn over to Acts 16. And I'm going to share you an account here of some real men. These people really existed. These aren't just stories written down and made up. As Brother Seitz would say, these are true accounts of real people that had real problems, just like you and I. So if you're there in Acts 16, I'm going to begin reading in verse 20. Actually, verse 19. And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them in the marketplace under the rulers and brought them to the magistrates, saying, "These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them. And the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them." This isn't a little slap, okay? They're getting beat physically, harmed. "And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into the prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison." You know, they're not really grabbing them nice here. "And made their feet fast in the stocks." And look what all that's going on. And look at Paul and Silas, verse 25. "And at midnight," in jail, remember, "Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loose. And the keeper of the prison, awakening out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled." Why would he kill himself? Because he's losing prisoners. He thought they were all gone. He thought he failed. "But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, 'Do thyself no harm, for we are all here.' Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?' And they said, 'Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house.'" I'll stop with the story there. Boy, what happened? Some problems happened in Paul and Silas' life. They didn't do anything wrong but trying to obey God. They were persecuted for their faith. You know, we're experiencing a little bit increase in the intensity of our persecution in America now, right? I argue we still really don't know what persecution is. We think we know. We think we are experiencing it. But we're not anywhere close what the disciples experienced, what Christians in China have experienced. And North Korea, we have no clue what persecution is. And yet, look where Paul and Silas were. They got beat, thrown in the prison, thrust, fast in the stocks. Did they quit? Did they have a pity party? No. They went into singing and praising God. And look what happened. Their testimony had an effect on the jailer to the point he realized they have something I don't and I want it. What do they have? How can this be? The jailer asked in verse 30, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Well, he knew they have something I need it. We can learn from this how you deal with trials can dramatically impact those around you. Paul and Silas didn't have a pity party. They didn't quit. And by all accounts, they could have. I mean, they're in jail. They've been beat. Surely they think, well, this is it. And maybe they did, but they didn't let it get them down. They still kept focused on God. You know what? We serve a big God. If this is what he wants for my life, so be it. Verse 31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. You know, you and I, we can be effective for the Lord even in a trial, even in the midst of problems. You can reach people that others can't. People are watching. You know, your coworkers that learn what you're dealing with, you know, you're not necessarily trying to make things public, but maybe they hear about some trials that you're experiencing in your life because they realize you're not at work. Hey, what's going on? Hey, well, I got a family member sick. I got this going on. And they're like, oh, wow, how can you deal with that? Boom, there's your open door. Well, you know how I can deal with it? Jesus Christ helps me. Opportunity just given to you to share the gospel, the good news. You know, I don't know where you are. I don't know how poor or needy or what you lack of as I wrap up here. Maybe you have forgotten in the midst of your trial. Maybe you're that veteran Christian that, oh yeah, we serve a huge God. He's all powerful. Why haven't I asked him for help? Maybe you are asking for help. Don't stop. Keep asking. Sometimes he wants you to just keep asking. Keep it before him. Maybe you need forgiveness for something you've done. Maybe you need some comfort. Boy, you're down. Maybe you need Jesus Christ and you've never made him personal. You've never called out to him and made him your Savior by repenting of your sins and turning to Jesus. You know, God already knows all. But he wants you to tell him anyway. He already knows about all the problems that you're dealing with, but he wants you to tell him anyway. He's a personal God. I don't know where you are. I don't know what you have need of. But I can tell you, the Word of God has the answer for whatever it is. Jesus Christ can save just like he did years ago. He's still in the saving business today. And why don't we go to the Lord in prayer now as Daniel comes up and he'll close the service for us. Lord, we love you. We thank you so much for this opportunity to listen to your Word, to allow it to convict, to prick our hearts again, Lord Father. I pray it was an encouragement for those needing that. I pray that it was some hope for those that needed that. And for those that do not know you as Savior, Lord, I pray that they would make sure of their salvation today while they yet have breath, because we do not know what tomorrow will bring. Lord, we just thank you so much for our church family. Please, again, be with us as we're separated right now. Heal those that are sick. In the name of Christ, amen.
Amen. Appreciate that message, Brother Sean. Thank you. It's so true that, when you're going through something in life, when you're in that poor and needy state, like I said in Psalm 86, God knows right where you're at. Go to God. I mean, call on him, like Brother Sean said, like the scripture says. Worst thing you could do when you're going through a hard time is to run from God. Go to God. God is in control. Keep that perspective on life. Remember who God is and that he has a plan. He has a purpose. And he is the only one that can help you. Go to God. Call on God. Just like you said, that's tremendous. Really appreciate that, Brother Sean. So we'll take a moment here to pray at home. Please take a moment to to pray with your family about this message that we've heard. And so we'll just take a moment here in the auditorium as well, have a word of prayer, and then we'll close. So let's give you a moment here. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for your love towards us. Thank you so much for your word, the precious truth that you have given us, Lord. And pray that you'd help us to take it to heart, to live it this week. And we pray that you would once again be with all those who are sick. We pray that you would touch their bodies and bring them through this. And we pray that we would be able to meet back together again soon. Pray that you would just work in our lives through this, Father. You have a plan and a purpose for everything that happens in our life. We pray that you would use this to draw us closer to you. And, Lord, we love you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed.